very common challenges in terms of readiness towards AI. So data challenges, do we have all the data available to feed AI? Because there's a phrase in the industry that, hey, AI is as good as your content.
Of course.
And I say that.
Garbage in, garbage out.
Exactly. So that's well said. I just extend that, hey, AI is as good as your readiness towards AI.
Prompt to Success, the AI podcast.
Welcome to Prompt to Success, the AI podcast for trailblazers and companies who want to start with AI. And today with me, Junit Ehsan from Zalando. Welcome.
Thank you.
Junit, in the beginning, we are always putting a statement together about what you're doing, why you're here, and that's spoken by an AI. Mm-hmm. So I'm really looking forward to it. Let's dive into it.
Our guest today is Junit Ehsan, a man who lives by the motto, learn and share. Junit always had the dream of becoming a pilot. After he learned that his younger brother also wanted to become a pilot, he shared his dream with him. Today, Junit works for Zalando as head of engineering and customer care. In his work, Junit is responsible for the development of web, chat and voice AI products as well as the customer care technology at Zalando. Junit is sure that in the near future AI will become the new normal. It will become omnipresent and more visible. According to Junit, AI has the potential to be an opportunity, but also a danger to modern society. We will see how we can adopt it and also how AI learns and shares.
So was it to the point?
I believe there was something interesting about my younger brother. I didn't know that I have one more younger brother, but it's actually my elder brother who is a pilot.
Yeah. Ah, okay. And he is a pilot?
Yeah, he's actually an instructor.
Oh.
Yeah, so he trained pilots, both on the ground by teaching them the concepts and also in the planes, how to fly a plane.
And you also thought about going to fly?
Yeah.
Yourself?
As a kid, I think I wanted to be, but later I realized that I'm scared of heights, so it wasn't a match.
Okay. Very funny. So where did you end up? Can you explain us a little bit more about your teams and what you're actually doing?
Yeah, so nowhere closer to aeronautics. I happen to be a software engineer. Yeah. And now I work as head of engineering for Zalando, where I'm leading product and engineering teams. So I've got a product team which basically looks after the opportunities to build experiences for customers and for our specialists. And then I've got three different engineering teams. One of them is what we call as customer facing products team, which basically build products like chatbot, voicebot, different forms and self-service journeys, all powered by AI. Then I've got a team which is dedicated to build the ecosystem for our specialists or agents, where they use Salesforce as the primary tool. Mm-hmm. We're introducing AI with Einstein in that ecosystem. And then I've got this team dedicated to applied science and machine learning, which basically look for opportunities and build solutions using AI wherever applicable.
And that sounds interesting. So you think that we don't have enough AI when you are referring to Wi-Fi signals today?
I believe so. I believe we are at a point where it is becoming more and more present, but it's still not omnipresent. So this is my reference that, hey, it will be just a thing which will be just present all the time along with you, which you may notice or may not notice consciously, which is kind of happens today, but not to the point where I believe it will go.
Okay. Yeah. How much AI are you using in your private life?
A lot of GPT. And I also...
So you're writing books in your private life or...
Not using GPT.
Okay.
Yeah, so I like to write. Yeah, but it's good to get some validations at some point in time, some assistance using AI. Yeah, so I use a lot of that. But apart from that, I believe things like devices that you can speak to these days are very common, like Google, Alexa, this kind of stuff, mm-hmm. your watches. So the AI is everywhere in that sense. All the sci-fi stuff is kind of real now.
Yeah. And how is AI supporting you in your day-to-day work?
A lot. In Zalando, we are using AI at different places, which some of them belongs to my team, but some of them are beyond my team. So, for example, on a broader level, to increase customer engagement, mm-hmm. Zalando created an AI assistant, what we call as fashion assistant. Mm-hmm. And the job of this is to allow our customers to interact with it in a very natural manner by typing some stuff, something like, I'm going to a party this weekend, mm-hmm. help me out, and I like black. So it will give you a few options to select and then maybe make a purchase out of it. So it really makes that customer engagement, which is really good. And then in customer care, which I lead as head of engineering, we use AI, for example, building all the customer-facing products, like, again, chatbot, voicebot, which people interact, again, very naturally, speaking a natural language. And a lot of automation behind the scenes where we also use AI. So within the scope of customer-facing product, first thing that you have to do is understand what customers are speaking. So there's what we call intent recognition using AI, try to understand what they speak. And then we look for ways how we can generate a response using AI. So then we use a lot of AI behind the scene. Apart from that, we're also using AI for our specialist or customer care agents who can become like super agents using AI. Mm-hmm. We say get some assistance, be more efficient in their day-to-day work. And last but not the least, our developers. They're also using AI in the form of copilots coming from things from GitHub. Yeah.
For coding.
Yeah, for coding, yeah.
So, general, you are using AI for customer-facing applications and also to support internal people
yes.
on their day-to-day work.
Yes. Yeah. So it's both external and internal. Yeah.
And how much of it has been appreciated by your employees, for example? Did they have a fear of losing their position, or are they really welcoming it from a technology perspective?
I think it goes through the cycle of anxiety and turning into some sort of excitement or a complete refusal to accept it. So there's a lot of variety to it. When I say initially everyone is anxious because we as humans, so nobody likes a change as the first thing. So when you introduce something to someone, say, this will help you, people think, I already know my stuff.
Yeah.
But then when they use
it's their comfort zone, yeah.
It's their comfort zone. They have to come out and say that, hey, this is going to help you and this is going to make you better. But as humans, you're like, I know my stuff. But then when you say, then, hey, let's try it. Mm-hmm. Let's give it a try. And after some time, they get over that anxiety. Hey, there's someone who is going to really tell me how to do my job. No, that's not the thing. It's about someone who is helping me to do my job. Mm-hmm. So they realize the value of it coming when they use it and get over that anxiety, and that turned into excitement sometimes. Or the other way around, when you feel like, hey, this is something which may actually replace me.
Yeah.
Then they do a complete refusal to it in the sense as well that they don't want to use it beyond just initial try and say that it doesn't work. And then when you ask for feedback, said, hey, if it doesn't work, how will we make it work? Then you get very little output from this because there's a complete refusal to accept the tech.
And how did you convince them? Has it been more internal meetings discussing about it, or has it been proof of concept where you actually showed them how it works?
We always start from working backwards from customers. So the idea is whatever we are doing, at the end, it should add some value towards our customers. So if I talk about people, let's say customer care specialists using AI, if AI is helping them to bring some information in a very quick manner, then they will be able to give that information back to customer quickly. So the conviction comes like, hey, we want to improve the customer experience and we want to give them faster resolutions and avoid asking them unnecessary questions to all of that magic behind the scenes with AI. So then it becomes simpler because we all are working towards one goal, bringing good customer experience. Similarly, even for the coding part of developers, you can make a connection that, hey, if you code faster, you will release a feature faster, which will help to bring a customer experience faster.
Of course, yeah.
So if you connect everything with that, with the bigger objective of building really great customer experience, then some conviction comes in and it's hard to refuse it as a person.
And do you think it will make the customer care job more attractive if you're mentioning that you have AI technology actually supporting them?
You mean internally or,
yes,
or
internally.
Absolutely. As you said, right, initially we are going through a cycle. By the way, in Zalando, nothing happens like as a surprise. So we go through a lot of approvals, a lot of explanations. So we also have a set of what we call as work council, which is basically a representation of employees, right? So if you're introducing a revolutionary technology like AI, we have to go and explain them, hey, why? Right. And then convince them, hey, this is for the betterment of people or for the customers. So when you go through that cycle, it makes your job easier.
Yeah. I mean, this all sounds very positive. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the other side. So what challenges did you face using AI?
Very common challenges in terms of readiness towards AI. Right? So data challenges, hey, do we have all the data available to feed AI? Because there's a phrase in the industry that, hey, AI is as good as your content.
Of course.
And I say that.
Garbage in, garbage out.
Exactly. So that's well said. I just extend that, hey, AI is as good as your readiness towards AI. So which is not only content, in my opinion. I think Gartner has collected it very well. They say there are three types of readiness for AI. First is people readiness, which you already have asked. Are your people ready? Then second is data readiness, data and content readiness. And
it's not about the amount of data, it's about the quality of the data.
Absolutely. I'll come to it because this is the biggest challenge, right? There was another third one is customers readiness.
Yeah.
Right. So are your customers ready to interact with a chatbot or an assistant? Because it's a different kind of experience. And again, on the type of generation that you're dealing with, there will be different acceptance. Yeah.
And in some cases, it does not make sense because your customers are not ready and they are used to manual processes or other things. Of course, a question of the generation using your services.
Yeah. I don't think that you can impose 100% AI for everything. So there are certain situations that, let's say, for example, you are expecting, you have ordered something for Christmas as a gift for someone you love, and it hasn't arrived.
Mm.
Now, imagine that you're talking to an assistant which says, hey, relax, it will arrive tomorrow. But you may not be convinced. You like that assurance coming from a human. Right. So there are things at certain point in time, I believe the human touch is also important and will stay relevant for a long time in customer care. So there are scenarios where you cannot just say that you will just send your customer in a loop of AI.
I have been faced myself last year in a loop of AI with a really bad chatbot of an airline where my flight was canceled and I was stuck in a foreign city. So I can imagine what you mean.
Yeah, this is my point. You want a human in that situation who can really give you the comfort or can look for different avenues to help you.
Yeah.
Because AI is built using certain capabilities and it cannot go beyond it at that particular point in time when you need an answer or a resolution to your problem.
The funny thing is when I arrived at the airport and I was talking to an agent, she figured out the issue, rebooked me within under a minute. And I said, that's awesome. I tried to use your chatbot for hours.
Yeah.
And she was smiling at me and telling me, yeah, I can do it without any AI.
Yeah. And this this does not work really well for people like me who are in engineering, because this kind of experiences come back to us.
Yeah.
And as you said, right, then when we come to the part of human acceptance to the AI, it's kind of showing that a bit of proud in her way of saying that, yes, she can do it without AI because she felt like that AI is inferior and it's not helping. And then the question can be, is chatbot good enough? Or do we need a chatbot? People can go to that extent here. Do I need a chatbot?
So how long did it take you to introduce AI for your internal stuff? And how are they related to it today? How they feel about it?
So we are still in the process for customer care agents to. So we are going through a pilot with Salesforce, actually Salesforce Einstein, where we are trying a lot of features, including service reply, next best action, case classification, so on and so forth. So we are in the process that, hey, they are using it, they are getting a feel of it now, and the pilot is still going on. So we have some really good feedback coming out of it, which will help our customer care specialists to be more efficient. And I believe it will also help Salesforce with that feedback to improve the product as well, where we see the gaps. So it's not finished yet. Once the pilot is finished, we will see the outcome of it, and on the basis of it, we'll take it to the next level.
Mm-hmm. And are you measuring it? So are you doing some internal surveys if they are happy and things like this?
Yeah, so we do it both qualitatively and quantitatively. So on quantitative basis, we measure things like average handling time, is it reducing or is it increasing? And then on a qualitative basis, yeah, there are surveys which we have sent out. And as I said before, we are asking for people, tell us, hey, does it work for you?
Mm.
And if you say, no, it does not work for you, can you please tell us where you felt the gap was?
Yeah, I mean, if you are using Service Cloud Einstein, there's also a feedback loop directly in the process. So after the service agent has used AI, they have the thumbs up, thumbs down, where you get actually directly feedback.
Yeah, that works, right? Again, this is quantitative, but if you want to go beyond that, you really need some text.
So, Junot, you mentioned a lot of complexity at Zalando. So how do you think AI can be used for scale?
So Zalando is a big company. We serve 50 million active customers, and we are operating in 20 plus countries and similar number of languages within Europe. The primary reason that we would like to use AI to scale, because we like to build excellent customer experiences using this technology, or newer customer experiences for this using this technology. That is our primary motto. We believe that, hey, if we give self-service instant resolution to our customers using AI, then this will really be an amazing experience for them. At the same time, if we can also make our people, like customer care agents or developers, more efficient on what they do, we also believe that they will be able to focus more on serving customers rather than struggling with the tools or doing some mundane tasks like, hey, I need to summarize a case, and this can be easily done by AI.
And the repetitive tasks are really boring.
Boring tasks, the time-consuming tasks, non-value-adding tasks for customers and for them in their day-to-day life. So we believe if we can make a fine balance in delivering customer care, amazing customer care experiences, while also benefiting from operational efficiencies using this tool, again, it will be a great proposition for everyone.
So let's come to our first category, things I wish I'd known earlier. And that basically means if you think about your knowledge, your experience you gathered, and going back in the past, what would you have done differently?
Things I wish I'd known earlier.
One thing that I will say, that if I knew that large language models will be so easily accessible, we could have been more ready to use them.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it goes back to the readiness, right? So these models are super powerful. They reduce a lot of work that you need to do in-house to build this kind of functionality or capability. So obviously, we have been using AI even before large language models came, but that's a traditional way of building your own models, training them, and testing them.
And that's a very expensive thing to do.
It's very expensive, and it's time-consuming because you need to collect a lot of training data, then you have to do a lot of validations. So this is something I believe I had known, that they will, for example, GPT will just make it available for everyone. And on top of that, there will be all the vendors joining the race.
Yeah.
Then we could have been far more ready to just jump on that wave. But at the same time, I would say that we really jumped on the wave in two sense, which I said before. One is we build a very quick intent recognition and automation system using large language models, which has uplifted our automation rate by 50% in 9 months' time. So that is surely possible. But as I said, right, if I had known this before, maybe I could have taken it to much higher level.
Yes.
The second thing that we also did very quickly was defect reduction. So what defect identification and reduction, which basically mean that, hey, we feed all our customer cases to an AI system using large language model. And then we said that, hey, tell me the root cause why people are coming to us. So it's not about what they're asking, which is intent recognition. Tell me why, which is basically coming to the point that you have a partner and you have a lot of cases for that partner from your customer because somehow people are trying to generate a return label, but it seems to be not working. And then we say, okay, this is very good information. And we go and tell our partner and they are very happy because they say, oh, we didn't know that our return label is not working.
Yes. I think that's the next big topic, really focusing on problem solving. So Gen AI is helping a lot in putting things together, but the problem solving is not touched yet.
Yeah,
I think that's one of the next big topic. And regarding training large language models, there's a new concept out. I mean, it's not fairly new, but RAG, you might know it, Retrieval Augmented Generation. Yeah. Have you tried it also?
Yeah, we are in the process of setting it up for production use now. So again, you want these grounded responses and not the funny responses coming out of those LLMs. So which means you have to set up all the grounding using RAG setup. And we have a lot of static context content in terms of customer facing articles, specialist facing articles. So we are feeding all of that to a vector database, building a RAG system on top of that. So we are in the process. I mean, POCs are done. Now we are in the process of productionizing it. Yeah, it's quite exciting that, hey, LLMs are not just bounding you in the ways of their way of working, but you can extend them and ground them and make them really usable in your context. Yeah.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
So what are your plans for the future with AI?
We have, in customer care of Zalando, we believe we are going to make a very big transformation using AI and especially LLMs. So historically, we have been very human handling heavy organization in customer care. And we want to shift that needle to be more automated handling based organization. So, which I believe is a big transformation. If you're doing this automation or self-service for customers, and if you're building really amazing experiences and reducing the time to resolution, then it will be a win-win situation for organization and for our customers. So for customers, self-service and automation, big part. Especially, we talked about a lot, making our specialists to super specialists or super agents using this thing. So we are very excited about it. And last but not the least, as I said, the defect reduction part for us is getting to the root cause where we can actually eliminate the reason that customers need to speak to us. Nobody wants to speak to us if there's no need.
And how much of actually automation and pre-information? So are you analyzing, for example, problems upfront and sending notifications to your customers? For example, the package will not arrive in time or it has been lost or something like this. I mean, it's all based on data. You can do a lot of things also in automation. Are you using this today?
Zalando is a company which is a platform which also allows different partners to also sell on the platform. So which means we are dealing with Zalando fulfilled orders, which are handled by Zalando Logistics, where we have a lot of data points, but we also have third-party carriers like DHL, Hermes, and so on and so forth. Then we are also dealing with partners who have their own systems, own data, and they have their own carriers if they're not using Zalando fulfillment. So it makes the ecosystem quite complex to find and say that, hey, okay, maybe we are able to understand what is happening in Zalando systems, but it's really hard to do that in a partner ecosystem because the readiness is quite different from ours. But here is also an interesting what Zalando is doing. Zalando has developed a system called Zios, which is logistics and partner systems, like a B2B system that you can use our fulfillment capabilities.
So you are bringing the services to your partners.
Exactly.
They use it. It's running on your platform, so you have access to the data.
Yeah. So this, I believe, again, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. If you imagine Zalando is a big company, they have solved a lot of problems already, which you don't have to solve by yourself. And you can use our capabilities. And if you're using AI behind the scenes, then you will be benefit from them as well. And again, it's about not about our customers, but the customers who are partners as well.
Yeah.
We believe it will be a win-win situation again for everyone.
Oh, that sounds very interesting. And I mean, for your partners, they don't have to build up the services and the knowledge themselves. They can just consume it on your platform.
Yeah, this is so we would like to give them as many interfaces as possible where they can consume or feed to us. So yeah, that's the plan.
Yeah, sounds very smart. So what do you think about the AI hype we are currently in? Is it not hype enough? Is it dangerous? Is there much opportunities ahead of us? What do you think?
I believe hype is there. Again, going back to this LLMs and what GPT has done, it has just put this technology in the hands of everyone today. So the hype is surely there. But what is interesting is now people have a solution or a technology and they're looking for a problem to solve. So who is benefiting the most from this? Is that who had a problem and then didn't have this enabler solutions, and then they see that, oh, I have a problem which can be solved by this, and they're benefiting the most from it. So hype is really helping those rather than the other way around. They say, maybe I have to come up with an idea to solve. So hype is real for sure. The other way to look at the hype, everyone is an expert of AI these days. So everyone talks assistant, everyone builds assistant. There's far more openness actually has come towards AI with the hype. So I'm happy for this because I don't have to convince as hard as I had to do before. So hype is for sure real. But again, as I said, how do you get benefited from it is in your hands.
Yeah. I mean, I think that people see the difference with a very smart AI-based assistant, that it's different to these old telephony assistants we know that press one for XYZ, and that was kind of boring, time-consuming, and not beneficial for anyone. I think people realizing the difference. So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm a big believer of these smart assistants, and I think that we are going into an area where we do a lot more with speech.
Yeah.
Really talking to systems, because that's actually very efficient.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a presentation that I attended a few years ago from Amazon, actually, where they said that we have experienced the decades of different type of experiences. Like we evolved from graphical user interfaces, which was like done by World Wide Web. But now we are entering into revolution of voice, where everything will be enabled by your voice. So you'll be able to speak to things rather than just touching and clicking.
Yeah, exactly. And if we just look to our children, how easy they adopt this technology. Yeah. I think we will get into it. So our next category is where do I get my inspirations from? And that basically means, can you have a recommendation here for our listeners about podcasts, websites, people to follow? So where do you get your knowledge from?
My inspiration for AI and business topics.
I believe it comes from various sources. I cannot just say one. So first of all, it depends how good network you have, how well you are connected in terms of with people really, or on social media like LinkedIn and all. Anything that happens today is available on social media next day. So if you're really an active seeker of information, it's hard to miss that feed. What is happening. That is one thing. The second part is, which I highly recommend to everyone, including myself, is go out and attend events. Mm-hmm. Attend events, for example, like Dreamforce. I'm going to that later this year.
We will meet there.
Yeah. But there are so many events happening on AI. I think it's one of the biggest topics. If you go to these events, it will really open up your mind, and it will also help you in a lot of ways. So,
and there's a big portion of networking also.
Big portion of networking. You'll meet your peers. You will see how other people are solving the similar problems that you have. Mm-hmm. There's a likelihood that you may not have a unique problem. Yeah. And networking within companies as well. I always say that I'm blessed to work for Zalando, which is such a huge company. Mm-hmm. I can learn from others. So when I say that go to events, even if I'm not going to an event, for example, there was an event recently with Google in US where our executives were there. Then I got, they heard something which was passed to my leaders and passed to me. And I said, hey, why don't you go and explore this? And this helps you. I say, okay, yeah, it sounds reasonable. Why don't I? So networking internally as well, going to events, be a seeker. Right? Yeah. As I said, it's a very connected world. It's hard to miss a good information today.
Great. So we will meet at Dreamforce. It was great having you here in our podcast, and hope to see you again. We will maybe do something during Dreamforce, so we maybe can record another one there.
Thanks a lot. My pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.